Broadcasting from Boston, Massachusetts, you're listening to the Technology Equals Equality podcast.
Welcome back to the Technology Equals Equality podcast. I'm your host, Lori Brooks, and this is episode 61. I am very excited about today's episode as we have the opportunity to welcome Marcia Bennett back to the techie community. Marcia joined the techie community back on episode 31 to share how to find a comfort zone for your product and execute your plan. Today, Marcia rejoins us to discuss her brand new book, Are You In It to Win It? Marcia Bennett works with entrepreneurs, teaching them to be more intentional and resourceful. She provides interactive workshops and live events to engage entrepreneurs in ways to be more productive, effective, and organized. Marcia considers herself a professional organizer, speaker, and a professional thinker. She wants entrepreneurs to create structure and strategy in order to make big gains on their journey to success. Marcia, welcome back, and thank you so much for joining us again.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. How are you?
I am very well, thank you. We had you join us back on episode 31, but I'm super excited to have you back. You have a brand new book that is out, Are You In It to Win It? So we are looking forward to jumping into the book itself, but before we get there, I'd love for you to tell us a story about the day that the book idea kind of popped into your head. What was that moment when you kind of, I actually want to put this in book form. I need to get this out to the public. I need people to understand this. What was that day like? What were you thinking about? What were you doing at that time?
The day was so busy and overwhelming for me that I thought, people keep asking me, how do you get it all done? So I thought, okay, the quickest way for me to explain this is to probably use what I call my success principles or my rules that I follow. And up until that point, I had always released ebooks on Amazon. So I thought, okay, I think I'm a little different this time. I'm going to actually put it into a physical book.
I love it. It's one of those moments where you're like, you know what? I've been doing this, and every bit of it has led up to successful point. And in order to expand or move forward, once you see that the growth is there and there's an interest and the market's telling you, hey, I need this, you know, it's awesome when I see entrepreneurs that take that opportunity to make a pivot or make a shift and kind of come up with a new project for themselves. So that's awesome. What do you feel were some of the first steps that you took once you decided, all right, you know what, I am going to go ahead and move beyond the ebook status and really put this into book form? What were some of the first steps you took?
So I always say, you know, small steps always lead to big gains. So I remember when I wrote my first ebook, I knew nothing, Lori, about formatting an ebook. So I knew right in the beginning I had to get the format right, of course, before I actually started actually typing. So I did that first instead of taking my ideas because I'm a natural speaker slash thinker slash writer. Once I start typing, I'm pretty good to go. But I thought, let me work backwards this time. So that's the first thing I did was figure out what format I wanted to look like once it was finished.
An interesting approach. It's not often that you hear that. It's more often that you hear that someone has this great idea and their kind of, you know, thoughts are flowing and they've got these, you know, pictures of what it is that they want in their head in terms of what it is they're going to produce, but they don't really have a definite idea of how they want to format it or structure and so forth. So it's interesting that you took that kind of reverse approach. What do you think is the most difficult part of taking that reverse approach? Do you feel like it was more of a help to you? Do you feel it was something that really propelled you forward in the creation of the book? Or do you feel like it may have tripped you up in terms of starting in that manner?
I think it helped me because it made me realize that if I do not do this now, I'm probably going to continue to avoid it because this is different from what I'm used to in terms of writing. So
yeah.
It was one of those, you start with the end and you work backwards. And so because my whole thing is you have to see everything through to the end regardless of what happens, I just stuck with it. And it ended up being that I was able to write it in less than maybe 10 days.
And I think that's a testament to, you ever read the book Eat That Frog by Brian Tracy?
No, I have not, but I know who Brian Tracy is for sure.
So I'm sure you're familiar with that concept of, you know, kind of taking that biggest chunk, that hardest piece that you would tend to avoid or procrastinate on, and getting that taken care of first. And to hear that it propelled you to be able to actually get the book written in 10 days is outstanding. That's awesome. And I think that's kind of, you know, a true testament to his words and the way he describes how tackling that big project can kind of propel you forward much faster and much further than you could imagine. Because when you eat that piece that you're so adamant about not wanting to begin, you know, the day just kind of rolls ahead quickly because there's nothing that you're delaying or procrastinating on. You know, as much advice as we're capable of providing or conversations that we have, sometimes it's difficult to take your own advice or to apply it, I should say, when actually working on certain projects. But it's definitely something I think I'll revisit in some of the projects I'm working on. But I'd love to know what it is you feel that you have learned throughout the journey of writing this book. What do you feel was highlight for you of writing and creating? What do you feel was something that really excited you when you were working on the book?
The ability to actually streamline my creativity. Because there have been times when even I feel like I'm overwhelming someone with information, right? So the fact that the book is broken down into, you know, rules, right, 21 rules or ways to win at the game of life, the fact that I was able to take each rule and each subject and kind of focus on that instead of jumping around from, you know, concept to concept. So that kind of made me realize that I've grown even, you know, as a thinker and as a writer.
And I noticed that, you know, a couple of your rules are really things that I think are super important to highlight even, you know, just in passing to those are, you know, rule number 4 is one of my favorite that you have is mastery of self-assurance. Can you speak to that a little bit as what it is that you're explaining to the audience on self-assurance in the book?
I would say that master self-assurance was one of the most difficult ones to write because I didn't want to come across as someone who was being like a preacher type person, right? I wanted it to kind of flow. But as I was thinking about the concept of self-assurance, it takes me back to a time when people say, I'm not confident as I could be, I'm not as confident as I should be or used to be. And I thought, here is the principle that we're going to have to stick with as we keep moving forward. If you do not take the time to master your self-assurance, you're always going to be questioning what you do and if you did it right and if you did it well or if you could do it better. So I feel like that's something that has to be mastered, what they call the inner work, right, before you kind of put everything else out into the world. Sometimes when I'm, like, presenting or talking, people say, you know, I just really need you to fix my life. And I'm thinking, oh, that just sounds so easy, doesn't it, right? But that's where that principle comes in. It's like you're going to probably have to learn how to master self-assurance first before you can, quote-unquote, fix those other things.
Certainly. And just to clarify that, it's not that you're referring to, you know, knowing yourself wholly or being 100% positive that what you're doing is correct at all times. It's really just being solid in your journey and the end goal that you're looking to accomplish. It's not that you don't want the readers to be flexible in their path. It's not that you don't want them to recognize that there are moments that they should take feedback and learn from that feedback, but it's really about having that confidence to continue forward throughout the journey. And I think that really is a big one on this journey is recognizing, you know, that you have to be confident in your end goal and what it is that you're doing, but being able to pivot along the way. I also noticed that rule number 20, and I haven't had the opportunity to get there fully, but I'd love to hear your concepts on failing forward. I thought that was an interesting one.
I can tell you that a majority of my life, I thought that failure was a bad thing. I thought that avoiding failure was a smart thing. And I thought that being perfect was the best thing. And the moment I released that concept that failure is inevitable, I think things started to shift for me. So when you fail, you have two choices. You can either move forward or you can keep reflecting, right, on the failure the misstep, the mistake, the obstacle, whatever it may be. And so failing forward is really not about not understanding what happened so much as just knowing that failure is a part of success, it's a part of the journey, and the key word is you have to move forward from the failure.
That really does correlate back to what I was mentioning, you know, before. Just there's no such thing as failure.
Right.
There's only feedback, and you have to kind of take that feedback and learn from it throughout the journey. So I thought that's what you were referring to, and that's why I wanted to touch on that one, because I thought that was a good one too. So what is it that you'd really like for your readers to take away from the book as a whole?
That it all can't be done in one day. Self-improvement, personal growth, personal development, it is very personal, right? So for each person or individual, it's going to be different. And so when I was looking at the final, you know, finished copy of the book, I thought, wow, everyone can win, but they have to win, like I said in the beginning, by taking those small steps. So I even suggest that, you know, you just pick two or three principles, right? And you kind of focus on working on those.
Baby steps will definitely get you somewhere. It's just kind of up to you and the pivots as to where that somewhere ends up. They will definitely get you to where you need to be if you just keep taking them. I love that baby steps thought process. It always brings me back to that movie, What About Bob? Do you remember that? Have you ever seen that movie with, oh goodness, what is his name? I can't even think of the actor's name. But it's a movie called What About Bob? It's a much older movie. It's from probably early 80s or something. And it's a mental patient who's going to see a psychiatrist who's telling him about all of these phobias and so forth that he just needs to kind of take baby steps to get through it. The movie is hilarious. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely hilarious. But it really focuses on taking baby steps in life to overcome anything and everything. The guy actually writes a book in the movie called Baby Steps. It's just hilarious. If you haven't seen it, I suggest you go pick it out on Netflix or something. It's absolutely hilarious. Probably drier humor than you're interested in. I'm pretty pathetic with movies, according to my husband, but I thought it was. Yeah. Please share how our listeners can go about, you know, obtaining a copy of the book.
It is available as an ebook on Amazon and is also available in a paperback copy.
And we will be sure to link to that through the show notes page. But I'd love to know, if you had a time machine, uh-huh, and go back to the moment right before you began writing the book and tell yourself one thing, what would that be?
There's no pressure to make this perfect because you can write many, many more books after this one.
That's good.
This is not the last book.
It's not the last one. You have more than enough opportunity to grow, changing, and set stone. So I love that. It's just, you know, more motivation to go push forward and get it taken care of. So that's awesome. The show is really designed to help entrepreneurs come up with ideas for a new business in an industry that they may not have been thinking of. And as a consultant, as a coach, I know the last time when we spoke on episode 31, you were really looking to diversify the client base that you were working with at that point. But I'm curious, as you've moved on with your writing and speaking and coaching, what would you do if you had that magic wand at this point in time and could change something in your business?
I would probably realize that nothing is absolute anymore. It's not a it's this or it's that. It's more of like it's this and it can also be that. The way that I used to approach operations was I have to make a firm decision. Either I'm going to do A, right, always, or I'm going to do B, always. And I never realized that, hey, maybe I can make a hybrid. Maybe I can do A and B.
Nothing is absolute.
Nothing.
Always going to pivots and bends and compromises along the journey. But it's just a matter of continuing to travel along that journey. Marcia, you have been absolutely wonderful. I thank you so much for joining us once again and for sharing the book with us today. Please share the best way for our listeners to find you.
They can find me, of course, on my website, which is BennettBusinessSolutions.com. And I'm on Facebook, of course, and Twitter. My Twitter handle is SucceedWithMB, and that's also my username on Pinterest as well.
I will be sure to link to all of your social media profiles from the show notes page, as well as your website. They will certainly have links to all of that. And Marcia, thank you once again for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Are you in it to win it, techie community? Find out by contacting Marcia Bennett at BennettBusinessSolutions.com. You can always reach her through our show notes page at technology-equality.com. Just type Marcia into the search bar, and both episodes 31 as well as 61 will pop right up. And don't forget to order your copy of Are You In It to Win It? We'll be sure to keep a link to order the book on the show notes page as well. Again, that's technology-equality.com. Just type in Marcia into the search bar, and both episodes 31 as well as 61 will pop right up. Marcia, thank you once again for joining us this week. We truly appreciate you taking the time to share with the techie community. And techies, thank you guys for tuning in for episode 61. If you are enjoying the show, don't forget to like, share, and subscribe on whichever platform you happen to enjoy the show from. And until our next episode, when we continue to hear the journey, find the pain, and create solutions, enjoy the week.